Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in again. I hope you have enjoyed the turn of the nature of the episodes and just kind of focusing on a single subject discussion as I establish myself more and more here in Costa Rica. Soon, from this date of recording in the middle of June 2021 AD Earth time, I am soon to be applying for residency as a Costa Rican temporary resident, and then after 3 years, I will be a naturalized resident here, so fingers crossed, prayers in the air, hopes and wishes that everything goes smooth in the next few months, and there's no bumps in the road, and I can get a nice smooth journey to residency, and really start establishing myself as a business person here, and integrating the business people that I know already and that I will continue to meet and connect with into this podcast sharing now worldwide and global and variation of cultures, insights, wisdoms into their success and their rise and spiritual attainments, we can say, during their lifetimes. So that said, what I want to discuss today is going to be more of a reading than a discussion. It's something I found from a few articles many years ago, lessons from an individual that had worked, or a few people that had worked with and for billionaires, and habits they noticed them practicing day to day that had a lot to do with their success and their happiness and their ability to create their own freedom and their own, you know, amplified ability to manifest here on the earth plane. So I want to share these lessons that I read many years ago. I have written on the top of it in my own handwriting, lessons from billionaires. It's not lessons how to become a billionaire. It's lessons from billionaires that even after all their worldly success, these are the things that they found insightful or pertinent extractions from the journeys that they had been on and the destinations that they had arrived to. I say that specifically because I never really had interest in becoming ultra rich. I think everybody has the dream or imagination. And then when I would think about, okay, what would I do if I just woke up and something I did generated $1 billion, like the Mark Zuckerberg effect? You know, a few months of work and all of a sudden, you know, his company a year or two later is valued at $1 billion. This can happen nowadays in many different ways. Lottery winners play a ticket. 2 days later, they watch the news and they become a multi-millionaire, almost a billionaire. What would you do, or how would you live if you could create any reality based on, you know, finances? And I decided that I would want to move to the tropics and have summer year-round and grow my own food year-round and have lots of space for animals and rescue animals and have a haven and a sanctuary for my family and friends to come visit and escape the 3D kind of digital reality they've been trapped in and get back to a natural setting that is pure, and it's a deep experience of true reality the way we were meant to live it and not the technological reality we've plugged ourselves into for the sake of commerce and survival financially. So when I realized that I could do that with the resources I had and, you know, a couple years of proper planning, I realized, oh, okay, I don't need billions of dollars. I don't need to invent the next amazing thing. I just needed to do the things that made me happy to a degree that they generated enough revenue and capital that allowed me to live this lifestyle that I wanted to here in Costa Rica on this fruit farm that I've planted with all my vegetables and medicinal herbs and everything that I may ever need and would be able to share in abundance with my neighbors here. I knew I had enough and was going to be able to provide based on these lessons. Now, if you aspire to become a billionaire, or maybe a trillionaire is in the near future for people, go for it. But ultimately, think now ahead of time what you would do with all of that wealth. And if you're able to live that lifestyle now or in the near future, just start on that journey and don't focus on the money journey. Because if you just focus on the money, you're going to get all the money and then be unhappy. And I could give you dozens of stories I've read about these billionaires that are completely unhappy and they start doing weird stuff and it makes them even more detached from reality and they're lost. The key to life is finding ourselves and living true to ourselves and hopefully optimizing our potential as much as we're able to with what we're given while we're here and our ability to survive the other things that we suffer and live through, work through, learn through. So your dreams are your dreams, but these lessons, these 20 or so things I'm going to read, hopefully will help you accomplish your dreams that much quicker and attain a sort of self-realization that you may already have your dreams manifested and you just needed to see it through the right lens. So here we go. Number one, invest in yourself. This is a very simple concept, but something you would think someone who has made it would stop doing. These billionaires had been seen both spending a significant amount of time dedicating their resources to self-development, whether it be a new language, exercise, social media classes, etc. The moment you stop investing in yourself is the moment you have written off future dividends in life. Now, again, I'm reading this stuff. These are not my words. I may modify some things to make it more appropriate for the podcast, but again, not my words. These are observations of somebody that worked around billionaires, one of them being Oprah and a few other people. So number two, be curious about everything. What the average person sees as mundane or overly complicated is not viewed the same way with a billionaire mindset. This person once had a 30-minute conversation with a billionaire named Enver about the height of curbs in Washington, D.C. versus Istanbul, Turkey. Billionaires are incredibly curious. What the rest of the world thinks is a problem and complains about, that's what these people go and work on. Very important one there. Number three, surround yourself with better people. This person never knew their bosses, these billionaires, to keep anyone less than stellar in their inner circle. There were many times he thought to himself, damn, they have dream teams built around them. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Super important, live that way. Who are your five people you spend the most time with? And you're going to become the average of those people. Or that's who you're constantly learning from and reflecting off of, or reflecting in character, perhaps. Never eat alone. These billionaires specifically had at least 15 people at their dinner tables, respectively. Most of us derive our key information from blogs or the newspaper. These power players get their information from the source, other power players directly. However, just because you can't call up the Obamas and break bread with them doesn't mean eating with others in your circle doesn't carry value. In one of this observer's favorite reads of the last few years called Never Eat Alone by author Keith Ferrazzi, it breaks down how you can identify information brokers to dine with you. There are enormous benefits to this strategy and learning from everybody around you and intentionally doing so. Number five, take responsibility for your losses. When this person was working for Oprah during the time she was taking heat from the media about poor network ratings, he was also working for Enver during the closing of one of his prized divisions. What he witnessed them both do in response was powerful. Opposed to covering up the losses with fancy PR tactics, both stepped to the stage and said, in essence, I own it and I'm going to fix it, and dropped the mic. Guess what? They sure did fix things. It's widely noted Oprah's network is realizing ratings gold, and this guy Enver's assets have probably doubled since that division closing. So, you know, take responsibility for your losses and be honest with your followers and you'll get more support than before. And that's really how we see things. You see, nowadays, there's this cancel culture which ultimately is a sociological thing of ineptitude by people that have failed in their own life and they're trying to cut down other people that have done good and might have flaws. Oh my gosh, humans have flaws, God forbid. But imagine we looked at these people that were starting this cancel culture, and they're probably the worst human beings that ever existed, and they don't take responsibility for anything. The cancel culture, if you look at anybody that they've tried to cancel, let's focus on Elon Musk for a second. His stock doubles the day after anybody puts out some negativity. So I joke with my friends, I'm like, this is probably a false flag being created by the corporation itself that says, if we get any attention, any press, it's going to make our stock double because the interest and the awareness is increased, and it doesn't matter if people are seeing good or bad, they're going to pay attention, and that's what they're looking for. And it's just, it's so interesting to see. But take responsibility for your losses, and it will turn to gains. And it's a very interesting one right there. So number six, understanding the power of leverage. This is huge. From afar, a billionaire appears to be someone who is a master of everything, but in truth, they are specialists in one or a few areas and average or subpar in everything else. So how do they get so much done? Leverage. They do what they do best and get others to do the rest. Keep in mind, this person has seen this done with wealthy people and their money all of the time. They use other people's money for most of their projects. So where the young entrepreneur or the small business owner thinks, oh, I have to use all of my wealth and my assets and mortgage myself, you don't. You can bring in other people's money. It's not even as partners. It's not controlling interest. It's you can get loans with interest and payback dates. You can get blind investors. You can get angel investors, hedge funders. There's all types of people that would be willing to take a small gain to help you build your idea now because they have the money sitting around, and to them it's going to look like a lucrative opportunity no matter what. So yeah, if you're interested in it, leverage others. I prefer to do barter situations and leverage people's talents in a way where I'm unskilled. So here on the farm, if I have somebody or meet somebody that's really good at construction and I grow food and they can feed their family, I trade that. What I can provide can substitute universally for what they can provide, and we balance things out. And that's the way I leverage relationships and situations and opportunities that I meet, is I pay attention to what people's skills and assets are, and I offer them a trade in my skills and assets. And that's not just things I have in possession on the property, but things I'm capable of doing, and it goes multidimensional through all of my reality. So I highly recommend figuring out either how to leverage other people's money, other people's energy, skills, time, for the trade-off that, you know, you're going to either make them more money or give them greater opportunities through potential introductions with other people. Somebody gives you a trade for a construction project and you introduce them to five people, they made five times the money they would have made with just you as a client. So there's a little idea. Anyway, number seven, take no days off completely. This person that was writing this recalls going on vacation with the billionaires several times, yachting up and down the coasts of the Mediterranean. And no doubt they were having a great time, but mixed in with all the swimming and backgammon was discussion of business, discussion of strategy, planning and plotting. The best way he could describe this habit is thinking about your business or your idea like your literal baby. No matter your distance, you don't stop thinking of him or her. And after just having, this writer says, and after just having his second son, he can attest to this. Number eight, focus on experiences more than material possessions. This was a big change for my value system and understanding what I cared about in life and what my dream reality was. When you have money, your toys are big. However, the vast majority of money this writer saw spent on their leisure was actually experiences versus the typical car, jewelry, or clothes we're familiar in seeing in music videos and gossip blogs. He recalls one time at dinner with Oprah, he spotted a table of about 20 girls off to the side. Later found out that Miss Winfrey was treating some of her graduating girls from her school in South Africa to dinner in New York City. Experiences create memories, and memories are priceless. So these people get all this money just to spend it on experiences. And if you can figure out how to have these experiences without the billions of dollars, you are equivalent in existence to these billionaires without having to have all the business responsibility and the hard work put in and the gray hairs earned. You can do it just the same just by focusing on having these amazing experiences and not the end goal of having a small experience once a year after working 51 weeks before that. Number 9, take enormous risks. This is another one of those successful habits every entrepreneur can attest to. A matter of fact, entrepreneur.com created a great infographic outlining commonalities of the world's billionaires. One of those prominent was this characteristic. Billionaires are not adverse to risk. What intrigues me even more about Enver and Oprah and other billionaires is even at their high financial status and success level, they still possess a willingness to risk their most precious asset, their name and their legacy, on new and bolder projects. If you're not taking risks, you're not making moves. Number 10, don't go at it alone. Nothing great in life is achieved alone, especially in business. Success isn't a solo act. This character trait is akin to surrounding yourself with better people. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. I say that on a daily basis here because I have just about 2.5 acres and it's all land that I need to maintain and keep the grass short, and I'm planting things, so I need the resources, the nutrients, the water, the sun going to every food and edible species that I'm planting. So it's a lot of maintenance, and I have a team regularly on an average day of at least 3 or 4 people here. Sometimes it's as much as 5 or 6. And these are all trade situations. These are friends that barter in certain ways, typically for food and housing. And it's constant teamwork. With the gym, when I owned Temple Kinesis, I think at the most I had about 15 employees. On the average, we had about 8 to 10. And that's what takes. That's what it, you know, it really takes. So find a team, whether it's temporary contractors or somebody with long-term vision that's aligned to yours. Everybody can help. And nowadays with globalization and with digital stuff, you can be spread around the planet and you can still have this team working with you. And a lot of agencies, from PR agencies to agencies that can help you with micromanaging and digital assistant stuff to do all your supplemental work, you can really leverage these opportunities and delegate things that would have been overwhelming to you as an individual, and it can create your success as an individual. So don't go at it alone. Number 11, recognize the value of simple ideas. All of these world's billionaires got rich from not a complex idea, but from a very simple one. Sure, there are some who do something very technical, like create complex hedge funds, but most billionaires figure out how to take something we all like to do, simplify it, and bring more value to the bottom line. So next time someone asks you to invest in a lemonade stand, don't dismiss it so easily. 12, be patiently impatient. Billionaires realize nothing happens overnight. As a matter of fact, it takes most billionaires decades to become successful. While patience is used for their long-term goals, you will witness deadlines for day-to-day short-term goals articulated by many of these people as due yesterday. Urgency. Being nimble and having the ability to deliver faster than your competitors is often what makes the difference between success and failure. Think about Oprah often beating the competing TV network to a coveted interview, or Enver launching a school in a country before anyone else did. Don't play with time. 13, be gritty. Ask any 10 people to describe billionaires, and I bet words like tenacious and relentless top the list. Billionaires don't let obstacles or pitfalls keep them from achieving their goals. Just because you fail 100 times doesn't mean you can't succeed on the 101st try.
The key is not just having the stomach for failure, but having the strength to face what feels like an endless amount of resistance and still move forward.
14. Develop great oratory skills.
You've never seen better live speakers than
billionaires. Coincidence? I think not. If you can't articulate your ideas and your vision in a compelling way, you can't galvanize the support required to make things happen. This concept was understood in a recent interview the writer did with one of the world's leading public speaking experts, Marshawn Evans. She stated, "The more effectively you speak, the higher your chances of career success." 15. Grow thick, armor-plated skin. The higher your heights, the greater number of detractors you will have and the sharper their attacks will be. This is the basic truth for anyone. But literally watching thousands of people hurl insults at billionaires without any impact made the writer realize that they possess an extraordinary layer of emotional resilience. He recalls that when they filmed the opening scene of Lovetown, USA, and Oprah arrived on a naval vessel, while thousands cheered, hundreds complained and ridiculed her for wasting tax dollars by using a military vehicle. Developing a shield is critical. First Lady Michelle Obama said it best, "Never let what somebody else says distract you from your goals." And so, when I hear about negative and false attacks, I really don't invest any energy in them because I know who I am. 16. Connect with people outside of your community. Your ability to be of influence within your community is directly related to your ability to make connections outside of your community. The technical phrase for this is called bridging structural holes and is eloquently written about in a research paper by Professor Ronald Burt. Both the billionaires that the writer worked for possessed tremendous bridging capital. They spend a disproportionate amount of their time gathering information from communities of people outside of their core, different age groups, different social class, different ethnicities, different education levels, different careers, etc. And then they share that information within their community. This is where their ability to influence and have power comes from. Over-communicate your message. It's not just about speaking loudly, it's about speaking often. The writer learned this from his professor at the illustrious McDonough School of Business. He floated this concept in class one day and it stuck with the writer. Don't make people guess or assume. Make sure your community understands your message precisely. Given the abundance of content produced in today's world, this concept has taken on even more relevance. Watch Oprah or Enver, those billionaires, closely when they speak for a short or extended period of time. Their format is always the same. They begin by telling you what they're going to tell you, then they tell you, then they summarize by telling you what you just heard. We live in a noisy landscape and repetition is necessary. 18. Learn to laugh at yourself. Most of us know from experience that having a sense of humor about things can make life a little easier, and there's science to back that up. Being able to laugh at yourself may be a sign of an optimistic personality, and it may even improve your mood. Humor has also been identified as a possible factor in the development of personal resilience. If you can laugh at yourself, you can forgive yourself, says Reverend Susan Sparks. And if you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others. You can't go more than 2 minutes in a conversation with either of those billionaires without them smiling or belting out a laugh, typically at their own expense. I find this super true. I'm not going to comment on too much, but this is one that is super, super powerful. And it really is a reflection of your emotional state and your mental state. And it does help you, develop personal resilience. Whatever life throws at you, just realize that, at least from my perspective, it was all meant to happen that way. And maybe you had something to do in the planning of it at some point. And if you're offended by it in any way, that's the precise moment you can laugh at it and realize whatever this situation was meant to harm me or I perceived some type of harm, it's a misinterpretation. You forgive the situation. It's you forgive yourself, and you can literally grow the moment you start laughing at yourself. So it's super important. Humor in general is amazing, and that doesn't mean sarcasm. That means humor, and there's a huge difference, and you need to discern the difference right now, because sarcasm is a reflection of insecurity, and it's hurtful, and it's not kind. Humor, on the other hand, bridges the world together and brings people from a lower state to a higher state instantly. So, yeah, that's an important one. Number 19, be great at one thing first. By focusing on one passion or strength, you can actually be more innovative. The deeper understanding you gain by doing one thing opens up creative new ideas. Ironically, limitations can lead to liberation. As I mentioned in part one, or in the beginning of this, as the writer mentioned, billionaires like Oprah and Enver aren't necessarily great at many things, but they're damn good at least one thing. Number 20, know a higher power. Developing a relationship with a higher power will give you the guidance for making decisions and solving problems. Again, developing a relationship with a higher power will provide you with the guidance for making decisions and solving problems. When you connect with a higher power, you can draw upon greater wisdom to help you resolve your problems. The writer found it fascinating that both Oprah and Enver, that while they practice different religions, they possess an unwavering faith. The writer believed that faith is why they strive to have a positive impact on people in society. They value integrity, and they hold high ethical standards for themselves and their organizations. We can all aspire to this, and to know these things means that they are important to the higher powers, the higher dimensions, the progress of the universe and reality we live in. That if your heart is aligned and it's in the right place and you're doing good by others and with the work that you do on the planet and influence you gain and capital and money you gain, that goodness is at the core of it all. So guys, thank you for listening to another episode. Appreciate you. I hope this helps. I hope you can grow from something that you heard today. And if it impacted you, I can only ask humbly that you share it with your community and we can spread the light around the planet. I'll be back soon with some more data for your ascension intentions. Have a lovely, wonderful day from here on in. I appreciate you.